The reader too, beginning at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will certainly not die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit, that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna kupu. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Te rongopai tāpū ki te ritinga, a matio te whā upoko ki timata tahi. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoimiti te kororia ki te atua. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoimiti tia ia te kukumana.
Awesome. Thanks, Kendall. Well, kia ora e te whanau a te karaiti. Hello, everyone. It's really good to see you. How are ya? All right. Yeah. Cool. I might move that off because there ain't enough room for my one as well. All right, yeah. I've just got back from being up in Auckland for a couple of days. So I might have told some of you, you know, in the recent floods, you know, all the things, all the weather we've had all up and down, particularly the North Island. My auntie got flooded out, Auntie Trudy, and her husband, Ian, my uncle, got flooded out of their home. And they had, she was actually carried out by a police officer because the water was, and he, you know, they're both in their 90s, very frail, and he had to sort of wade out bravely on his own while she was carried out by this police officer and the water nearly up to his knees. And and it was my auntie's funeral. She sort of, I think, decided she'd had enough and it was time to go. So it's quite sad, and I'm still feeling that sadness. She was my mum had 8 sisters and 2 brothers, all right, so it was a big family, the Rushton clan, and she was the youngest in this family, and so
She's and Trudy, Auntie Trudy, was the last of her brothers and sisters to die. So now my mum's just on her own, you know. And she's on the other side of the world and couldn't be at the funeral. And so, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. So I'm just being honest, you know, you know how it is. And you start to think, oh, well, I wonder how much longer I've got with, you know, my mum and stuff. Anyway, so just confessing all of that before, but also just being real. And while I was up there, there was a whole load of more weather coming through. And the person I was staying with had their house had been flooded down in the downstairs. And they knew that there was more rain coming through this weekend. So he was in the basement digging a hole, trying to create a sump for this flow of water that had been going through their downstairs, which he did, and went out on Saturday and bought a... was it Saturday? Yeah. Friday? Anyway, one of the days. And bought a submersible pump and put it in this sump, you know. And so we stayed up on... Yeah, which one was it? It was, yeah, Friday night. We stayed up until about 2 in the morning to try and keep the water out and pumping the water out as it came in. And it just, you know, and everything that's going on in Hawke's Bay obviously is huge, isn't it? There is so much that's going on that, and when you have a piece of sadness quite close to home, it kind of keys you in a bit more, doesn't it, to all the other sadnesses that are around. And there's a lot of sadness around, isn't there, in our world, in our country today. I'm going to grab one of the little flyers, if I can find it, for the Lent course. I think it might be just out there. See you later, everyone. Oh, darn, he's back. So this is our Lent course flyer, and because I'm just conscious that, and you'll have seen this probably, but hope in bewildering times. Hope in bewildering times. These are bewildering times that we live in, and many of us are feeling that. And, you know, and every now and then we kind of, we're able to forget about it, aren't we, and have a nice flat white or something, or a pie in my case down at the beach, you know, and feel good about life, and that's good. But we keep coming back to the fact that these are bewildering times, and just one more reminder after another. And so we're going to bravely and foolhardily, not at all, because it is an amazing book, we're going to use the book of Job in our Lent course, because the book of Job is a surprising source of hope. And Job, we can relate to Job in these bewildering times. Job going through everything that he went through and just feeling it. And the whole book, he's pouring out his heart to God. And these so-called friends of his, or comforters, they're sometimes called, or theologians, come along with their slightly off theology and their words of comfort, some of which are, you know, reasonable and some of which are just off. At the end of the book, God says that Job spoke what was right of me, and Eliphaz and all you comforters, you didn't. You know, he tells them off. But Job spoke what was right of me. And in the middle of the book of Job, one of the things he says is that, for there is hope for a tree, when it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. And there's this little glimpse there. And it goes on, and we'll unpack it more in the Lent course, but it goes on to talk. And this longing, this hope that Job has, this kind of reaching out for the resurrection, there's got to be a time when I'll see my Savior, he says, you know, and with my own eyes I'll see him, you know, because my Redeemer lives. And at the last I shall see him face to face, he says. You know, and he gets these glimpses. He gets these glimpses of Jesus all the way through the book. And we'll be looking at some of those. So I just thought I'd put that out there as a little plug for the Lent course. You don't have to come, but if you'd like to, it's on Tuesday nights here at St. Luke's and on Wednesday daytimes down at St. Michael's. And we'll be doing a repeat there. For those who prefer to come out during the day, it's a bit easier sometimes than the evening. And those who want to come after work or whatever in the evening, there'll be an opportunity for that. And as we come into Lent, and Lent is a really appropriate time to be looking at all of this stuff, isn't it? As we come into Lent, and we look at our reading today for the first Sunday in Lent, Jesus is echoing the children of Israel as he comes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and praying, and being tested and tempted in the wilderness. And it's an echo of what the people of Israel went through many years before, when they went into the desert for 40 years. You know, 40 years, Jesus, 40 days. It's an echo of that. And if you think about before that, Jesus is baptized, isn't he, in the Jordan River, just before the passage we just heard, where Jesus is tempted. Just before that, he's baptized in the River Jordan. And that, too, is an echo of the people of Israel when they were freed from Egypt and they go through the Red Sea and they come out the other side, and the waters of baptism, as it were, just wash away all of that slavery. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. They were tied down. They were serving, you know, this awful oppression, and they're freed from it. And obviously, they're supposed to just go into the promised land, but then they fluff it up again, and they are led for 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus, too, he goes through the waters, and he then goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And Christians have said for years and years, for 2,000 years, this is Jesus doing what Israel couldn't do. You know, in our humanity, we failed. And Israel, called by God, a bit of humanity called by God, failed. And then Jesus, the true Israelite, does, as an Israelite himself, does the things that the rest of his people couldn't do. He is the true Israelite. He goes into the desert, and he's tempted, and he overcomes. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's good news. So Jesus leads the way for us. And in those temptations, just wanted to briefly look at the three temptations there. There's lots you could say, but we're not going to. But the first one is, you know, if you're hungry, and he was hungry, he'd been fasting, just turn these stones into bread, you know, and you'll be all good. And Jesus says, no, you know, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And again, he just uses scripture, and his eyes fixed on his Father, and that's how he deals with the devil. That's how he deals with temptation. That's how he deals with testing. But the testing here, I think, is to say, just feed your flesh, you know? Just be kind to yourself. Be nice to yourself. It's not wrong to be kind to yourself. But in this case, Jesus is going into the desert to try and do something, to try and achieve something that Israel had not achieved. And he was going to do it. And he had his eyes fixed on God, and he's getting sidetracked. Oh, don't worry about all of that, you know. Just pamper yourself a bit, you know. You're a bit hungry, just make some bread. We all face those sorts of temptations, don't we? I won't go any further into that for now, but looking at the next one. The next one, he gets the temptation. The devil says, oh, just, you know, stand up and do something. Get everyone to look at you. Stand on the top of the temple and then throw yourself off, and angels will catch you, you know, and the devil quotes scripture back at him, very cunning. But Jesus says, don't put the Lord your God to the test, you know. So that's the temptation to, you know, not just feed myself and say, oh, yeah, you know, I deserve something good. You know, let's forget trying to be so keen about God and, you know, just I'm going to just let myself off a bit. That's the temptation to look flash and look cool in front of others and to do things to be seen by others, as Jesus says, you know, of the Pharisees and others. You know, they stand on the street corners and blow a trumpet when they're going to give and all that kind of thing. And we do similar things sometimes, don't we? We like people to see us doing the odd good thing, and we like to look flash sometimes in front of people. I mean, not too flash. And then the third thing, the devil just kind of gives up on the pretense and says, ah, all right, worship me and I'll give you everything, all the kingdoms of earth, everything you can see. Just worship me. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And completely puts the devil under his feet. So the temptation is constantly for all of us, I think, and it was for Jesus, to just stop being so keen and just relax a bit and pamper ourselves a bit, to do stuff that looks good in front of others, you know, or finally to take our eyes off of God himself and just give in to the ways of the world, to the devil, basically. And I think these are the temptations Jesus overcomes, definitely. And these are the temptations we all face, aren't they? We all face them in different ways. But Jesus, in that wilderness moment, he's got his eyes fixed on the cross. He knows where he's going. He knows that he's laying down his life for you and me, for everyone. He knows that this is what his mission is. His mission is to serve and serve and serve. His mission is to serve so much that he gives everything, gives all of his life, and then to make a way by defeating death itself so that we can follow in that way of service, that way of love, that way of honesty, that way of goodness, of truth, of humility, all those things. Not looking flash, not, you know. I mean, I'm not saying, don't hear me wrong, we do need to be kind to ourselves from time to time if we want to keep going on this road. And obviously, Jesus ate with his friends and he had fun and he did all those things too. But in that moment, it was one of those testing moments where he had to keep his eyes fixed on the goal and he had to just see it through. And there are times when we have to see it through. And he did that for you and me. And the wonderful thing I think about, obviously, about Jesus is he took on our humanity, became one of us, so that we could be one with him as we go through our human lives, our lives of humanity. So where Jesus overcomes temptation, it's not all just down to us and our strength. Are you weak and heavy laden? We just sang, you know. Cast our burdens on the Lord, for he will sustain us, says the Psalms. He carries our burdens. He carries us in our weakness and where we're tempted. And he gives us the strength to see those things through. And when we fail, and we all fail, he picks us up. He forgives us again and again and again. Yeah, there is hope for a tree. When it is cut down, that it will sprout again. You know, we have times where we feel cut down, but we will sprout again because Christ gives us hope. He is our Redeemer. So as we head into this Lent and these times, which can be tough, and which, as we wrestle with the toughness of these times that we're in and the bewildering times we're in, let's have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who is the pioneer of our salvation, who made it through the wilderness, who made it through the desert, with his eyes fixed on what he'd come for, his eyes fixed on that way of service and love, of truth, of goodness, that way of the cross. And let's follow him as he leads us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father, we just come before you now, and in Jesus' name, who is our Lord and Saviour, your Son, our Saviour. And by the Spirit, we pray that you would lead us over this 40 days as we follow our Saviour, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, that we would know your forgiveness where we need it, that we'd know your lifting us up, picking us up where we need it. We'd know your hope in our hearts where we need it, the hope of the resurrection, which always comes after the cross. And we pray that we'd look at that joy of resurrection and know which way we're going and know that it's worth laying down our lives again for you and for the people around us because of the joy that is set before us, that joy of resurrection, of being with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.